We'd like to welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church this morning to join us for our worship service this Easter Sunday. And I hope you have a great Easter and everything. Appreciate you taking the time to come visit with us. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up our worship service with prayer. Our Annie Armstrong goal is $1,500, given today to $696. So continue to be in prayer for that and give as the Lord leads you on that. There will be no p.m. service, no afternoon service today due to we had sunrise here this morning. The Titus II women's meeting is April the 8th at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. The Standing in the Gap men's ministry is April the 11th at 7 p.m. And also remember the Grady County Baptist Association men's meeting is April the 18th. We'll have more information on that for the men in the coming weeks on that. And also a baby shower for Cassie Latmore on April the 20th here at the church from 2 to 4 p.m. So mark your calendars for all of these. They are listed in your bulletin. Any other announcements? Good. Any birthdays? Okay. We'll open with prayer, and then I do think we have a mission video that we'd like to show after I open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this Easter Sunday, Lord. We are thankful for every day, Lord, and Lord, but especially today, Lord, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we have come today, this morning, Lord, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And I know there are many activities that have been going on, that will be going on, Lord. Lord, even during the whole week, Lord, even as we have learned and studied, Lord, during Jesus's time here when he during the Passover week, Lord, it was a busy week, Lord, but Lord, let us all just take the time, Lord, to make sure we worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord, in all the things that we may do. Lord, I do just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he proclaims your word today, Lord, and we hear from you today, Lord, through him. I just pray, Lord, that we just not sit here and we want to be attentive, Lord, but let us not only be hearers, as Scripture says, but let us be doers of your word, Lord. And I just pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Who's in my family? Yeah, if you looked at a picture of ours, we'd certainly look different. Oh, we have two biological children, we have three adopted children. So certainly if you look at a photo, you see brown hair, you see dark skin, you see blonde hair.
And certainly we do get weird looks, but the great thing is seeing the Lord work and do things that you never even dreamed possible.
The call to adopt came out of intimacy with the Lord, just like our calling to plant this church. I'm the church planting pastor of Refuge Church in the Artemia community of Jacksonville. I've been here about 2.5 years. It was a community that was very unreached, and being there, the Lord just began to kind of do something in our heart.
We didn't set out to plant a church for foster and adoptive families. It really just happened. The Lord did it.
A lot of our church has become people from this community who are fostering or who are adopted. So we share that in common. People are longing for community. And when you have the layer of taking on people and children from difficult places, it's not easy. It's not comfortable. I think the reason they've shown up here, there's a big closet full of diapers and shoes and strollers and car seats, and they see that and they come here to get a need met. Through that, they build a relationship. Next thing we know, they're in our church on a Sunday. And I think about the amount of children who come to our church who, if families didn't say yes to foster care adoption, those children would never hear about Jesus. They never hear the gospel. This is the calling that God has for us. And when people give to Annie Armstrong, you're able to support those who are on the front lines of gospel work. And people hear the gospel who would never have a chance to hear the gospel.
Well, this morning, as we sing, I want everyone to come up and pick up a flower off of the front, and let's decorate the cross together. And we're going to sing the hymn, "He Lives," until the cross is completely decorated. Is that what we do, Sis? Okay. Did I forget something? Everybody's looking at me like, huh?
Are you
going to
do the call to worship?
Let's do that. That's why everybody's looking at me. My ADD is taking over again this morning. I'm sorry about that. No, I'm not apologizing. But anyway, let's do call. If you can, please stand and we'll start with a call to worship. The words will be on the screen. How great is our God? Yeah, that's why.
Is it?
one more time. I already did it in the wrong order. But we've had some more come in. So as we sing, He Lives, I want everyone to come forward, take a flower off the front seat, and decorate the cross until it's completely decorated. We just continue singing because, well, He lives. He lives. Page 533 in the hymnal. It should be on the screen, I think, isn't it? Yeah, it's on the screen. Watch your...
Raise your glory. was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
We hold the burden. this morning, and what a great day it's been already. To be in the house of the Lord and fellowship with like believers. If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For believers in Jesus Christ, there are what we consider three major Christian holidays. The first would probably be Christmas, that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. The second would be Good Friday. We celebrate Good Friday. It wasn't good for Jesus, but it was good for us. Amen. Because that's the day they nailed our Savior to the cross. Today we celebrate Easter as, it's probably better to call it Resurrection Sunday than Easter Sunday, amen? Because we're really not celebrating a pagan holiday, we are celebrating a Christian holiday, and that is a day that we celebrate the risen Lord and Savior stepping up out of the grave. For us, Easter means that Jesus has defeated death. It is our hope. It is our future. If we think about Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we think of the importance, because even if the Son of God had to step down out of heaven, born of a virgin, would that have helped any of us by itself? No. He lived a perfect life, but would that by itself have done you and I any good? No. If he'd only died on the cross and shed his blood, would that have done anything for us? It might have forgiven us of our sins, because without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission or no forgiveness of sin. So we may have had our sins forgiven, but if Jesus had never risen from the dead, then you and I would have no hope of tomorrow. And like I said this morning, the hope we talk about it as Christians is not a wish list hope. It is not something we hope we get one day. This isn't on the screen. It just came through my mind, so I'm going to chase it for just a minute. 1 John 5:13, John wrote these words. He said, "These things I have written to you so that you may know you have eternal life." That is the hope that you and I have today in Jesus Christ. If you're not in Jesus Christ, you have no hope. You don't have hope for tomorrow. You don't have hope for next week, next month, next year, until you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Paul writes about this subject here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we're going to go ahead and jump in and read these words, because the importance of Jesus rising from the dead has everything to do with our faith. Because if He didn't rise from the dead, then we're wasting our time today. We'd be wasting our time every Sunday. We'd be wasting our time reading the Word of God. We'd be wasting our time singing songs of hymns to our Lord and Savior. Listen to what Paul writes. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believe. Now Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead. How do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. We pray with you. Heavenly Fathers, we have read your word. As we have read Paul's writing inspired by the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you just grip our hearts today to realize that without the resurrection, Lord, we'd be wasting our time. We would have no future whatsoever. But because you have risen from the dead, because the angel of the Lord said he is not here, for he is risen, Lord, those words have changed history. They have changed my life, and they've changed the lives of so many others. Lord, as living proof that he is still alive and well even today. Lord, I pray that you use this time together to glorify yourself. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, those words have changed history. He is not here, for he is risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead is what the writer in Matthew wrote in Matthew 28, verse 6. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Jesus had been trying to tell his disciples, listen, you can destroy the temple, but in 3 days I'm going to do what? I'm going to rise it back up. You can... There are things that some man is going to have to suffer, is going to have to die, but he will rise again. And so it should not have been anything that the disciples questioned when Jesus rose from the dead. But like in our Sunday school lesson this morning, what do you expect when you go to a graveyard? What do you, if you have an image of somebody in your mind that passes away, you don't expect 3 days later to see them up walking around. Amen? It is just not natural. That doesn't normally happen. As a matter of fact, we know it's only happened one time because Lazarus, he was raised from the dead, but Lazarus is dead today. Amen? Jesus is still alive. But why is the resurrection so important? I think as we look at the resurrection story of Christ, we are faced with several things that we must do to rectify these situations. The first one is simply that we're faced with difficult situations because we have to choose what we are going to believe. When you think about these groups of people, and this question is coming from Paul, that hey, there are people who believe they believe in the resurrection, and there are some who don't. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the body after death, but the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And because of that, there was a rift even among the religious leaders of that day, and there are still some today that preach the same thing, eat, drink, because tomorrow we may die, right? That's what some people are saying, that's the end of you. But we also know that because Jesus rose from the dead, that we too, because if we believe in him, we will also have eternal life with him. If you deny the resurrection, because a lot of people say, well, I believe in Christmas, I've heard a Christmas story, I know that Jesus came, and, you know, don't really know who he was to begin with, but I know he came, lived a good life, he was a good teacher, that he died on the cross. So if people believe in a big extent of Christ's birth, Jesus' birth in the manger. And some people believe that, hey, there's a crucifixion day, Jesus died on the cross. We don't really understand that because we all think we're good people, right? God wouldn't send a good person to hell. Well, my Bible says there are none who are good. Amen? There are none who are good. Because every single one of us has told our parents a lie. We have taken things that didn't belong to us. We don't honor God the way we should. We don't love him like we should. We don't honor him like we should. Most of us probably have at some point in time used God's name in vain. Amen. We've looked at other people and lusted after them. Matthew, Jesus said that was, if you lust after them, you've already committed adultery in your heart, so you're a sinner by default. Amen? And so the reason we need a Savior is because we are sinners and we cannot pay the sin debt, because our Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. We've all missed the mark. But Romans 6:23 tells us, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. We all deserve punishment that Jesus took on the cross. There's an old song that says, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on that cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, did what? He took my place. You see, I deserve to be on that cross. I deserve to be beaten by the Roman soldiers. I deserve to have a thorn crown stuck on my head. I deserve to have my beard, not have a beard, plucked out of my face. I deserved all that, Jesus did. My sins, he took. When he was nailed to the cross, he took my sins upon himself, because I placed my faith and trust in him. But we have a major problem if we don't believe in the resurrection. And I'm just going to try to break this down, because if you just read through it, you're kind of like, think what? Yeah? And these verses 12 through 19. If you deny the resurrection, and if there is no resurrection of the dead, then why do we preach and teach this truth? Why do we preach and teach it? If there's no resurrection, then Jesus did not rise from the dead either, right? And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, if there's no resurrection, then what hope do we ever have of eternity with God? You see, it all follows a progression, because if you deny the resurrection of Jesus, then you deny a historical event. And I'm going to tell you, I know we live in a society today that wants to change the facts. Amen? They want to change the facts, whether you're a man or a woman or a wannabe or whichever. Oh, they want to change the facts on history. They want to rewrite everything. But I can tell you that Paul offers proof that you can't say or deny or discredit or deny. Because, I mean, as he goes through here, he gives a list of all the evidence that we're faced with. He gives us these reasons. First thing we need to realize is the empty grave. You can go to Confucius' grave. You know why they call him Confucius, don't you? Because he was confused. And I know that was dry. Confucius, you can go to his grave. You can go to the graves of a lot of people, David Koresh. You can go to all these other people who have claimed to be the way or know the way. You can go to the grave. When you open up the grave, guess what you're going to find? You're going to find the bones or whatever left of the person who was buried there. But you can go to the grave of Jesus, and guess what? Just like the angel of the Lord said, he is not here, for he is risen. You can go to the empty grave of Jesus, and he is not there. I think it's interesting with the Gospels when you read all four of the accounts. Brother Tim and I were talking about this in Sunday school. That how you take the different Gospels and you put them together like a puzzle, and it paints a broader picture of everything that went on there. It's not denying or disputing between the different authors of those Gospels. It's just simply people focus on different things. But when you look at the realities of all four Gospels, they all four give an account of Jesus being risen from the dead. He is risen. He is not there. But realize too that in the reality that the grave is empty. You say, well, maybe somebody came and stole Jesus' body. That was a going thing back there, remember? Because even the religious leaders went to Pilate and said, can we have some guards to put at the tomb? Because remember when Jesus was still alive, he said after 3 days he was going what? He was going to rise again. That they heard Jesus say that, they knew it, and yet they didn't believe it. Right? So that Pilate said, make it as secure as you know how. I know I'm here. Make it as... Because I'm sure there wasn't just Roman guards there. They were probably the guards from the Sanhedrin as well. Because the Jewish leaders also had a police force, so to speak. And so they were in charge, just like the Romans were, to make sure that nobody came and stole the body of Jesus. Think about this. When Jesus rose from the grave, what did the Sanhedrin, what did the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, what did they all do? They all got together and copied a story, right? And they said, well, tell everyone that while the soldiers were sleeping, Jesus' disciples came and stole his body away. Can I tell you that today, if you, especially in politics, and I'm not getting into politics right now, but if somebody wanted to cover something up or discredit somebody, there are people today who will spend millions, if not billions of dollars trying to shut somebody up. And if they can disprove you, they would do it in a heartbeat. It's the same way that was back then. If somebody had actually stole the body of Jesus, don't you think the religious leaders and the Romans both would have found Jesus' body to disprove what was being said about the resurrection? Yes. They would have moved heaven and earth, so to speak, to disprove what Jesus claimed to be. They hated him so bad they did not want his memory to be remembered at all. Well, the grave was empty. There was no body. But there was also the many eyewitnesses that Paul described here in chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. Think about this. He appeared to Peter, the 12 disciples, and then by over 500 people, not different times, different places, but all at once. Brother Tim's in law enforcement. So if somebody, if 500 eyewitnesses came forward and said that I was robbing a bank downtown, would you believe them? Yeah. I mean, that's more than enough proof. Matter of fact, many people get convicted on one person's eyewitness testimony. And yet you have the disciples, and you might say, well, they're prejudiced, or how you say that. They're for the person who's being, the charges are against. Here we see that this is possible. But 500 at one time. And here's the thing that Paul writes here in chapter 15. He says, listen, many of these are still alive even today. You're talking about 22 years approximately after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 22 years later, when the book of 2 Corinthians was written, and our 1 Corinthians was written, and Paul said, listen, if you don't believe me, go to the other eyewitness. I give you their names and telephone numbers, right? You can talk to them and ask them about Jesus showing himself to them. There was the empty grave. There's no body. There were the many eyewitnesses. But then there was also the changed lives of Jesus' disciples. As we read about Jesus' crucifixion, what happened to the disciples as Jesus was being crucified? Where'd they go? Most of them ran. Right? Most of them ran. The only time we see a disciple's name mentioned is when Jesus is near to the cross and he looks down at John and he says, John, behold your mother. And he looks at Mary, his mother, and says, Mary, mother, behold your son. That is the only time there's a disciple mentioned around the cross of Jesus Christ, because all the other disciples were scared to death they were going to be next to be crucified. They ran for their lives. But then Jesus rises from the grave and he tells Mary to go tell Peter and other disciples that he is risen and that he will go to Galilee and meet them there. And so here we see that there's a change that starts to come over the disciples. And then when Jesus meets them in the upper room, and you know, the first time Jesus shows up, Thomas wasn't there, right? He missed a blessing. We might talk about that some other time. Thomas missed out on the blessing. He missed out on the commission that other disciples received because he didn't show up at church that night. Amen. He wasn't there when the group met. That's plain and simple. He missed the blessing. But after Jesus shows himself to the 12, and Thomas sees the nail scars and puts his hand in Jesus' side, and he realized that he is Jesus, that he is resurrected from the dead. You couldn't stop them. You couldn't shut their mouths. In fact, the harder people try to shut them up, the more they spread the gospel. Right? You see a change in their life from being scared men to being great disciples of Jesus. And then it's not just the changed lives of Jesus' disciples, it's changed lives even today. Some of you could probably come up here and give your testimony of how Jesus changed your life and how he's living inside of you today. We sing the song, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living whatever men may say. We see God at work. We see him in our lives. We see him in the lives of our families. Hopefully we see him in the lives of our friends, that he is changing people. We're not perfect, amen? But he's changing us into who he wants us to be. He's still alive. He's still at work. Thank God. So if all this is true about the empty grave, about the risen Savior, about the changed lives of the disciples, about our changed lives, then some of us have a decision to make. What are you going to do with Jesus? That's a personal decision, but you can't leave it personal. Amen? Because Jesus said, whoever denies me before men, I'll deny before my Father. You see, it's a private decision, but it's lived out publicly. How has Jesus changed your life? You know, we sang it. We sang it, you know. But do we live it? Is it true? Is it real in our lives? Are we taking what Jesus has done in us and sharing it with others? Some of us may have a decision to make. Some of us have already made it. We've trusted in Jesus Christ. We've trusted that He is God's Son, that He was born of the Virgin named Mary, that He lived a perfect life, that He died on the cross for sins that I committed, not He. And that He died on the cross, He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again. And right now He is at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and I who have placed our faith in Him. You see, I believe Jesus is God's Son. I believe He lived a sinless life. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. I believe He shed His innocent blood for my sins. I believe He was buried in the tomb. And I believe He rose again 3 days later. That's what this church believes. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen. That's the most important thing. Don't matter what I believe or you believe, it matters what God believes and what God says is to be true. But the question comes back to, what are you going to do with Jesus? If He is God's Son, and He is, if He lived a sinless life, and He did, if He died on the cross for the sins of the world, and He did, if He was buried in a tomb, and He was, and if He rose again from the dead and lives today, and He did, then what are we going to do with Him? Are we going to put our faith and trust in Him and believe in Him that He is who He said He is? He did what He said He was going to do, and He is accomplishing even today what He intended to do when He came to seek and save that which was lost. I don't know about you, but you know, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the only day we have. And if you've never made that decision to follow Christ, to trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, give your life to Him, I encourage you to do so today. What better day than Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day? That is our hope. That is our faith. But what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with Jesus? Don't let today pass you by. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be, what does it say? Saved. Saved from what? Saved from destruction. Saved from hell. Saved from being by yourself and tormented for all eternity. Saved means to be rescued, means to be pulled out of the flames. And literally, that's what Jesus is offering you and I today, that He paid the price. All you have to do is receive what He is giving. I can give you a gift, but if you never take it into your possession, what good is it? It's no good. But God is offering you a gift. He's offering me a gift. He's offering all of us, the whole world, a gift of salvation. And He said, what do I have to do? My Bible says, believe. Believe. Believe Jesus is who He said He is. He did what He said He was going to do, and He's doing right now what He needs to do to bring us to Himself. What are you going to do with it? For with a heart one believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, what we believe and hear in our heart should change what comes out of our mouth. Amen? And what changes our heart, changes our mouth, changes our actions. What do you believe? John 14:6, Jesus said these words, and we'll close. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, there is no other option. There is no plan B. There is no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ alone. What are you going to do today? Will you stand with me? Heads bowed, eyes closed. As we pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that through Jesus you have accomplished everything that needed to be done. Lord, even your word from the cross, it is finished. It means that every form of payment was made to see us saved. Lord, it is not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's one here who's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, if they've never placed their faith in you, then I pray today would be that day. Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts and receive the gift you have for us. Lord, help us to act on it. Help us to trust you. Lord, maybe some have gone astray that need to come back home. But it's not the problem, son. Lord, I pray that you draw them to yourself. Lord, your word tells us if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So, Lord, I pray that you have your way. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.